May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 395. Behold the throne of grace, the promise calls me near. There Jesus shows his smiling face and waits to answer prayer. Hymn 395.
Read together from the Holy Word of God, reading from the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4. The Epistle to the Philippians, reading chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Odias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy, most gracious Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we would come before thee now in this attitude of prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray and what to pray for. May we not be left to ourselves, our own thoughts, our own minds, our own spirits, but bless us with a gift of the Holy Ghost, oh, to be our intercessor, to grant us those promptings from within, oh, that prayer might be brought forth from the heart. O Lord, help us to come before Thee in confession, in supplication, and in thanksgiving. Confession of our many, many sins. Confession that we are sinners, that we have sinned against Thee, that we have committed iniquity, that we have broken Thy holy law, that we have not obeyed Thee. Oh, confession that we have come short. We have been disobedient. We have been unbelieving. Oh, confession, Lord, of our shortcomings and our distrust and our hardness of heart and our rebellion and our foolishness and our worldliness and our carnality and our backslidings. O Lord, grant us true confession of sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But, O Lord, leave us not to mere lip-spoken confession, but may there be that, oh, wrung out of a broken heart, a burdened sinner, a guilty sinner. Grant true confession. Oh, might we know that godly sorrow which worketh repentance. Lord, supplication, prayer, imploring, pleading, begging, asking, knocking, seeking. Oh, we come before Thee with our various needs. Oh, have mercy upon us. Grant, Lord, that we may obtain Thy mercy in Christ Jesus. God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and save me for Thy mercy's sake. Open the door of Thy mercy. And, O Lord, how we would ask to be found right with God. O Lord, we would ask that our religion be that real religion. Show me some token, Lord, for good. Some token of Thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. O Lord, we will supplicate that we might be so led of the Spirit, striving to enter in at the straight gate. O, to be found in that narrow way which leadeth unto life, and to be taught our need of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from all of our sins. O Lord Jesus, show us Thyself. Come and grant such a revelation of Thyself, or that we may by faith look up and see no man save Jesus only. Or like those in the Gospels we read coming to the Lord Jesus, pleading, begging, or that leper, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. O Lord, those blind Bartimaeus by the wayside, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. We think also of Peter. They're beginning to sing, Lord, save me. The Syrophoenician, Lord, help me. Oh, how they supplicated Thy mercy, Thy help, Thy grace, Thy aid. And oh, each one was blessed. Not one refused, not one turned away. O Lord, may we thus be helped to make our supplication unto thee. Or we would pray for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And may we know the indwelling of thy Spirit. O Lord, who grant us those evidences of being a child of God, may thy Spirit bear witness with our spirits that we are among the children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. And O Lord, in our pathway, oh, many supplications, many errands to the throne of grace have we not read, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But we also read, for these things I will be inquired of, O house of Israel, to do them unto you. And we also read, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Lord, thou knowest the hearts of each one of us here, and how we have come tonight. And any who have come with a heavy heart, a burdened heart, a troubled heart, an exercised heart, those who have come, is there any word from the Lord? All those who have come seeking Jesus, if haply they might find him. Any who have come, Lord, and they come with their hard questions. Oh, how they long for those answers of peace. Those who have come, Lord, and ah, there are those matters. There are those difficulties. There are those problems. And oh, they look to thee and make supplication. How they need thee to appear, thee to provide, thee to undertake, thee to go before. Oh, do supply every need this night. Prosper thy word. Glorify thy name. Do poor sinners good. Lord, remember each and every one. And oh, Lord, we would be thankful. Thankful to find there yet is room before the throne of grace. Thankful we have one to go to in every time of need. O Lord, how thankful we would be for thy word, able to make us wise unto salvation. Oh, we would be thankful also for the means of grace, that we might gather together again in thy name to worship thee here. Oh, may we know thy presence. Oh, how thankful we would be if Jesus himself would draw near and come with us this night. Oh, how thankful we would be if our hearts might be prepared to receive thy word. How thankful we would be if it would please thee, Lord, to pour upon us thy Holy Spirit, the outpouring of thy Spirit. Oh, how thankful we would be to receive of thy word, to hear thy voice, as the sheep hear thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Lord, be not silent unto me. Oh, Lord, we would remember any in any particular need. Oh, as we sometimes pray, may there be a portion for seven and also for eight. Lord, remember that eighth soul, that one perhaps pressed out of measure, or that one at wit's end corner, that one who feels to be overwhelmed, overcome, that one who feels to be trapped and has no way to escape, that one who feels to be full of confusion, or that one who feels I am shut up and cannot come forth, that one who feels to be in such a prison, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name, such a one walking in darkness and hath no light, oh, such a one who fears that they are outside of a secret, oh, on the borders of despair, feeling there's no hope for them, Lord, remember them, oh, any upon the point of turning back and following no more. Oh, may they prove that they are not of those who turn back, but of those who believe to the saving of their souls. Oh, Lord, remember each one and those in special need. Bless the dear children, the young people growing up. Oh Lord, in this very difficult day in which I live, oh, do mercifully appear. Help all those in education and studies, and oh, grant much wisdom and help. May they be enabled to look to thee and oh, learn that prayer. Lord, help me. Prosper them. Go before them. Provide for them. Lord, thou art able. Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Remember, dear parents, also, and grant much grace and wisdom and help. Remember, O Lord, all in the midst of life, bearing the heat and burden of the day. Remember those with responsibilities and in their businesses, in family life, in employments. Oh, grant much help. Remember older friends also in their latter days. Bless them still, be with them still. Remember those unable to be here and various reasons why some are not here. Lord, thou knowest. We pray for those who are listening to the service now. Bless them. Those who would be here if they could. We especially remember those laid aside in sickness, affliction, weakness, infirmity. Or would it please thee to go to them and lay thy healing hand upon such, to raise them up again and to sanctify these things unto them. Lord, bless his cause of truth. Remember them here. Help thy servants who minister from time to time. And Lord, remember each cause of truth. Oh, remember Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save. O Lord, do mercifully appear, shine upon the churches, lest they die. O, may there be a building up, a real building up again. The Lord adding, such as shall be saved. Lord, in this dark and evil day, we witness so much of Satan's work. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, that they might have eternal life. Oh, Lord, do mercifully appear. Let thy work appear. Do we not also read, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil? Or may it be ours to witness personally and collectively and in Zion, nationally, internationally, oh, destroying the works of the devil. Lord, in mercy appear. Rule and overrule, Lord, in these days in which we live. Oh, Lord, we look to thee if it please thee to stay the plague. Oh, to prevent it, Lord, from further afflicting people. Oh, the deaths around, the afflictions around, and men's hearts failing them for fear. Lord, have mercy upon us as a nation. What do we deserve? We have provoked thee to anger, our sins, our wickedness. O, a nation that has forsaken God, turned from God, trampled underfoot the word of God, the solemn desecration of thy day. All the awful things we hear of the idolatry, the wickedness, the murder. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We fear thy hand is stretched out still. But Lord, hear the cries of a little remnant of praying souls. Oh Lord, do in mercy appear, spare us yet. In wrath, remember mercy. Remember, O Lord, thy people throughout the whole earth, all who love and fear thy name, those who are struggling, those who are suffering, those in persecution, imprisonment, those who are deprived and isolated, and all those, Lord, in great dangers. Lord, remember them. And we feel led to pray for those of our connection, both in Australia, where they have no minister, and also in America, where now just one minister. And Lord, they feel it painfully. Oh, remember them in their great need. And Lord, be pleased to raise up. Oh, would it please thee, Lord, to raise up others also to preach a glorious gospel. Oh, Lord, we look to thee. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Oh, may we be stirred up to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth labourers more. Lord, we look to thee. The hearts of all men are in thy hand. Oh, do in thy mercy, Lord, appear. So, Lord, do hear our poor prayer and hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. Go before us each in the unknown way and guide us aright and cause all things to work together for good. Lord, hear us and forgive us. Remember us still. Help us through this service. And following the service, take us each back to our homes in peace and in safety. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Let us sing hymn 1016. God of my life, thy gracious power through varied deaths my soul has led. Oft turned aside the fatal hour, or lifted up my sinking head. Hymn 1016.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention this evening to the chapter we read together from the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do. We live in a day and generation when many can do. I can do this. I can do that. Indeed, it seems to be promoted to make one confident, to make one able. I can do. We would be very careful in speaking, as the Lord does give gifts and abilities and wisdom, so that people can do. I can do. I was rather struck in the vestry. There's two pictures of two ministers of old, one being J.C. Philpott, the other John Warburton from Trowbridge. Two very, very different men, different upbringings. You take J.C. Philpott, his father was a vicar. They were brought up in Victorian England in the very early days, Queen Victoria, and they would have been relatively well off. Apart from being continually afflicted with his chest, he had a good education. Eventually went to Oxford. Did extremely well there, and then was taken as a private tutor over in Ireland to a very, very wealthy, rich person to educate two of his sons to go to Oxford. No doubt surrounded by various luxuries and such things, and Philpott himself being extremely gifted and able, I can do. But it was at that time when, through a great sorrow, being sanctified, the Lord called him by his grace. And then after some time, returning back to Oxford, befriending William Tiptaft, and eventually the two of them were ordained for the Church of England ministry. And after some time feeling so troubled at the Church of England, they both succeeded and became ministers in the Strict Baptist connection. Philpott, of course, went on to become joint pastor at Stamford and Oakham and editor of the Gospel Standard magazine. Greatly esteemed. I can do. I believe he would be found in our text. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Only as the dear Lord strengtheneth me, I can do these things. But then, John Warburton, brought up in abject poverty. What education he had was very, very small and limited. And when they married, they hardly had any money at all. And with an increasing family, those of you who have read his life know how he really struggled. And one of his greatest fears was of having to be thrust into the workhouse. Oh, what a great fear he had. And then being called by God's grace, and the Lord raised him up also to preach a gospel. Oh, one thing he felt he could not do. I cannot do that. So different to Philpott, who was ordained in the Church of England, and when he succeeded from the Church of England, as far as I can tell, stand to be corrected, but I'm not aware of any church actually sending him out to preach, as we understand. But preaching, I think, at Allington first, and perhaps at Abingdon, where Tiptaft was, and then called to many other places to preach. But Warburton, oh, how he felt he just could not preach. And yet the Lord so thrust him forth. And the Lord would teach him the lesson of our text here very, very well. The first time John Warburton preached, he was greatly helped. And I believe the second time also. And he overheard some people speaking of him, perhaps in a flattering way. And the dear man of God, he by nature, like all of us, had a very proud heart. And he overheard people saying, perhaps he's going to be a second Gadsby. He's a wonderful preacher. Dear Warburton started getting proud thoughts of himself and how great a preacher he might become. Well, the third place he goes to preach, I forget where. And as was usual in those times, the chapel was packed with people coming to hear him preach. And he had in a mind an outline of a sermon he would preach. And he got through the reading, he got through the prayer. He comes to the preaching, he announces his text, he begins to preach, and a sudden darkness comes right over him. He struggles on for a few minutes, and in the end sits down in utter confusion. He couldn't preach because he went in his own strength. Because he was looking to his own honour and glory. He had to learn this text, and it was a very, very painful lesson. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Well, John Warburton thought, that's it. I'm not going to preach anymore. He left that chapel and that was it. He'd given up preaching. But the Lord had other thoughts. And the Lord so wrought upon him again that he must venture again to preach. Oh, looking to the Lord for his help and his strength. So I was really taken by those two dear men, so different. We might say in their abilities, in their gifts. One educated, not one not so educated, but both of them were brought into the school of Christ. Both of them were taught of God. Both of them raised up of God. Both of them used of God. And oh, what a loving bond they had one to another. Indeed, that first time they would meet each other, both so fearful of each other. Warburton hearing of this man from Oxford with all of his academic abilities. And Philpott hearing of this man from Trowbridge with all of his grace. And yet, oh, when they met, such a loving bond which remained to the day of their death. I can do. Well, in the world there are many who can do. And they can achieve, they can prosper. They can do this, they can do that. But dear soul, if you and you and me are called by God's grace, we shall enter into the school of Christ. And one thing we must learn is our dependence upon God. Utter dependence upon him. And the Lord will teach us many, many things we cannot do in our own strength. But all to learn this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, coming into the school of Christ, we have a good teacher. But perhaps we feel to be poor scholars. And at times we have to have some very painful lessons. Two things the Lord will teach before he brings a soul to this text. First of all, in John 15, without me, ye can do nothing. Think what you will. But without me, child of God, ye can do nothing. Or we may see others who can do. But either they're not amongst the Lord's people, they're left of themselves, or we see them and they are the people of God, who have learnt this text. Without me, ye can do nothing. Again, John Warburton had to learn that the third time he preached. And it was such a painful lesson to him. And he felt he just could not do. And the Lord taught him, yes, without me, ye cannot do. And perhaps there are other things in our life, and the Lord is teaching us this lesson, that without me, ye can do nothing. So we learn that dependence upon God. You take the children of Israel coming out of Egypt through the wilderness, their utter dependence upon God. They had to prove, without me, ye can do nothing. That time when the spies returned and 10 of them brought back an evil report and influenced the whole of the congregation of the children of Israel. And then the Lord said, because of their unbelief, they would not enter into the promised land. And some of them, they took it upon themselves, now we will go up, we will fight the Lord's battles, we will go. And so they went forth to fight, but in their own strength, without the Lord. And they were smitten, and they were beaten, and they were returned, ashamed, confounded, without me. Ye can do nothing. Or may this be a warning to anyone here, about to take a step, make a decision, do something. You think you can do it in your own strength. Oh, don't be surprised if it all comes to confusion, it all goes wrong, if you return, as it were, defeated. Oh, how we need to learn, without me, ye can do nothing. Another lesson that the Apostle Paul had to learn, and this also would be a very, very painful lesson. He was given such a revelation, taken up to the third heaven, and he saw such wondrous things there. But then we have this word, and lest I should be exalted above measure. There may be times we may prosper. There may be times in which things seem to go well, or we have such an experience. Maybe times we have such a blessing. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I should become proud, boastful. Lest I should glory in the flesh. Lest I should make a show of how highly favoured I am above others. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And I'm sure all the children here know what it is to have a thorn in the flesh. And it's something very painful. And when one has a thorn in the flesh, literally, the first thing you want to do is remove it, take it out. Well, this thorn in the flesh, we're not told the specific, what it literally was, but the messenger of Satan that was given to me. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, to bruise me, to hurt me, to bring me down. Oh, how he longed for it to be removed. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, by which I understand morning, noon, and evening, three times a day, continually. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. The Apostle Paul had many wonderful answers of prayer. Sometimes immediate answers of prayer. Well, in one sense, he had an immediate answer of prayer here, but the answer was no. He wanted yes. But the Lord said no. It did not depart from him, not for a time. But the Lord gave him this answer also. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. our weakness, Christ's strength. That's the second lesson the Lord must teach his people, to be made perfect in weakness. It follows that, doesn't it? Without me, ye can do nothing because you're so weak, so dependent. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, which all seem to be connected to this thorn in the flesh. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Made perfect in weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Our weakness, our insufficiency, our dependence upon God. But then to learn, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Ah, that the Lord has strengthened his people, and how thankful we are for that. All things we could never, ever do, but the Lord grants us strength, sufficient strength, all needful strength. Well, it may be perhaps tonight one has a thorn in the flesh, something very painful, something you keep praying the Lord to take it away, and the Lord doesn't take it away. Oh, how you long for it to be removed. It's so painful, so distressing. A messenger of Satan. And you feel to be plagued, and you feel to be harassed, and you feel to be so troubled. Oh, to learn, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Let me but hear my Saviour say, strength shall be equal to thy day. Then I rejoice in deep distress, leaning on all sufficient grace. Ah, there's a wonderful lesson to learn. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? The church of God, the people of God, the child of God. How do they come up? Leaning upon her beloved. Oh, dear friend, do we know something of that? What it is to be found leaning upon him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Oh, leaning upon him for strength. And you cannot lean too often. And you cannot lean too hard. It's a wonderful truth. In nature, you can lean upon something, you lean too hard and it gives way. You cannot lean too hard upon the Lord. Oh, leaning hard upon him. That is putting one's trust in him. How the dear psalmist prayed, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Oh, some of the things we must pass through, we fear that we sink under them. They're too heavy. They're too many. They're too burdensome. They're too great. They're too mighty. Hold thou me up, for the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And Jesus says unto his people, his disciples, follow me. Two simple words. What the Lord will have his people do. Follow me. But then in the following, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I tell you this, not one of us left to ourselves will ever deny self. It's the greatest idol that we ever worship, self. And we put self first. Self-righteousness, self-seeking, self-love, self-praise, self-adoration. All centering upon self. We want self to have the glory, or we want self to achieve. I just think of that other hymn, and how this hymn 289 describes the pathway, the experience of the Lord's dear people, and the ends that the Lord has in view. I'll just read a few verses here. You see, thus far my God has led me on. Temptations everywhere annoy, and sins and snares oft make me sigh. My earthly joys are from me torn, and oft an absent God I mourn. My soul with various tempests tossed, her hopes o'erturned, her projects crossed, sees every day new straits attend, and wonders where the scene will end. Is this, dear Lord, that thorny road which leads us to the Mount of God? Are these the toils thy people know while in this wilderness below? 'Tis even so. Thy faithful love does all thy children's graces prove. 'Tis thus our pride and self must fall, that Jesus may be all in all. Sanctified trouble, sanctified affliction, sanctified loss. Our pride and self must fall. The Lord will teach his people to deny self. Oh, what grace we need to deny self when we'd rather hold on to self. We'd rather keep self. But no, the Lord will have us deny self. Oh, that sacrifice of self. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, and to take up the cross. What does that mean to you tonight? What cross is the Lord laying upon you? And all you may feel, it's too heavy. It's too weighty. It's going to crush me. It's going to bring me down. I cannot bear this cross. I cannot do this thing. Well, again, the Lord will never command his people to do anything for which he will not give them both a grace and a strength also to do. Whatever the calling, whatever the pathway, I can do all things. Or to bear such a cross, if it be the Lord's will, if it be of God, and follow me, follow me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, one of the great things that the Lord will require of his people is obedience. I just feel if there's one particular sin in which the Lord will visit his people with a rod, is disobedience. I believe Jonah is set forth as an example. He was determined not to go to Nineveh. He had his reasons, or should we say his excuses. And not only would he not go, he thought he could flee from the presence of God. He thought he could run away from God, the commandment of God. And the Lord permitted him to run away thus far. To get into that ship and to begin to go to Tarshish, where he thought, he assumed that ship would take him. But the Lord had other purposes. And the Lord followed him in that storm, that tempest. And how the mariners were greatly afraid. And when they took lots, a lot fell upon Jonah. Be sure your sin will find you out. The Lord found him out, and he had to confess to those heathen mariners he was a prophet of the Lord, running away from the commandment of God. when he felt he came to the only conclusion that a storm to abate was for him to be cast into the sea, certain death. And though they tried to gain control of that little ship, they were out of control. The tempest yet blew. And in the end they took Jonah up, cast him into the sea. But the Lord had gone before, preparing that great fish just at that moment that Jonah is cast in. And now Jonah in the belly of that great fish, 3 days and three nights, we cannot begin to imagine what it must have been like. Fearing death any moment, fearing an angry God any moment. In pitch darkness, and the stench, completely disorientated, not knowing where he was, what the end would be, but death. But after 3 days and three, for 3 days and now 3 nights, I believe Jonah dare not pray. He could not pray. How could he pray to his God when he'd been so blatantly disobedient? How would God hear him? Why would God hear him? How could God spare him? Remember, especially dear children, young people, we all know the end of the account. We all know what happens. But Jonah didn't know that. All he could see was death. He must have been petrified. But after 3 days and three nights, prayer was wrung out of his heart. Jonah once again prayed unto God and proved that salvation is of the Lord. And that fish could have been anywhere in the sea, but the Lord so directed it that it vomited up Jonah upon dry land. Was that the end? No. God was determined that Jonah was going to go to Nineveh. Jonah had passed through a very, very painful experience. Jonah had tried to run away from the commandments of God. He tried to disobey the Lord his God. And the word of the Lord came a second time unto Jonah, arise and go and preach against that great city, Nineveh. And Jonah went, humbled, meek, broken, contrite, but obedient. He went, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Mine just goes now to the disciples when the Lord Jesus constrained them into the ship to go to the other side before him. The very fact that he constrained them would strongly suggest that they were reluctant. I don't believe they were necessarily disobedient. They were fearful. They were concerned. They perhaps made suggestions why they should not go. Remember, there had just been a feeding of 5,000. There was a euphoria amongst the people. They wanted to make Christ now an earthly king. And we wonder if the Lord Jesus, seeing the disciples getting caught up in it all, would send them away. While he himself sent away the multitudes, he dealt with them. But then there's another wonderful fact that he constrained them into the ship. He made it very clear that it was his will. And this would be, in a sense, their strength, their help in that voyage that night. They could remember how the Lord Jesus made it abundantly clear that it was his will for them to get into that ship and to go over the other side. The Lord Jesus knew that nightfall was coming. He knew also that the wind would be contrary. He knew that they would toil all that night and labour in rowing, trying to get to the other side. He knew that they would be weary and tired and fatigued after a long day. He knew all about these things, but he was high up in that mountain, praying for them. Praying for them that they might be strengthened. And as we read in the account in John, and it was now dark, and Jesus had not come unto them, but he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And to me, it just seems to be a picture of a child of God's pathway. And often absent God they mourn. And so often darkness. And so often toiling and labouring. And so often the wind contrary. A little bit reluctant to mention it, but I feel it may be in keeping with our text. All the years my father was out in America, he had it hard. He had a lot of opposition. He had a lot of problems. He struggled so much all the years he was out there. But he continued at times, or when there seemed to be such a temptation to return to England, he often wondered, why am I here? He could see so little success, to use that word carefully. But he persevered. He pressed on right to the very end. I believe he proved, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, the Lord will not have his people turn back. The temptation, I've had enough, it's all going wrong, the wind is too strong, I turn back, it'll be so much easier. Those disciples never turn back. Yes, to the flesh, to self, that would be the easiest thing, but oh, we are not of them that turn back, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I don't know. Perhaps there's one here this evening, and in your pathway, in your situation, oh, that temptation to turn back, have things become so hard, so difficult. Do you think you feel you've got to give up? You just cannot carry on. Perhaps you feel clear, the Lord led you into it, the Lord provided it. But now, like the disciples, things have got dark. You do not feel the presence of God with you. And the wind is contrary. So many things are against you. Perhaps like Jacob, you cry out, all these things are against you. Well, we have in all things here in our text, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Even if you look at the natural of those disciples in the night season, through the night hours, they must have been so tired and so weary, labouring, toiling, rowing the wind contrary. But the Lord strengthened them. Strengthened them. Strengthen their faith. Here may we prove the power of prayer to strengthen faith and sweeten care. A great mercy if we have a little faith. If we have a little faith, may we be helped to pray, Lord, increase my faith. Strengthen my faith. I feel we need it in the days in which we live. These very difficult and distressing days. To have faith in God. To believe in God. To be still and know that I am God. To trust in God. To wait only upon God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You're led to speak of Moses, that man of God. And he also proved that God moves in a mysterious way. Brought up in the court of Pharaoh's daughter. And yet he knew that he was of the children of Israel. We read very little of those days of his youth and as a young man. But when about 40 years old, he went out to see his brethren. Notice the wording there, his brethren. We don't read he went out to see the children of Israel, though that would have been true. He went out to see how the Hebrews were faring, though that would have been true. He went out to see his brethren. And as we know, he saw an Egyptian smiting one of his brethren. And what did Moses do? I can do. He took matters into his own hand. And he smote the Egyptian, he killed him. He buried him. He thought no one was watching. The next day, and he must have had a burden concerning his brethren. He went to see them again. And he sees two of them fighting or arguing. And he seeks to speak to them. And it's very notable how one of them answers him, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us?" We wonder if Moses perhaps was trying to take matters into his own hand to deal with the situation with his brethren, the children of Israel. Perhaps he was looking at them suffering under the taskmasters. Perhaps he thought he could do something about this. Perhaps he was a prince and a judge. He was in a position of authority. And perhaps he thought he could use it in his own strength, his own wisdom, his own might, his own power. "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us?" Well, in many ways, at that time, not God. And then when it was known what he had done to that Egyptian, Moses had to flee for his life. According to the purposes of God. 40 years now as a shepherd in the backsides of the desert, where I fully believe the Lord was preparing him, teaching him, instructing him, things which Moses would have to pass through. And I'm sure all the time he had that burden, that exercise concerning his brethren. But what could he do? He was far away. He was now a shepherd. Perhaps he'd spend the rest of his life here. It's quiet, it's peaceful. No particular troubles. We read so little of those 40 years. But at the end of the 40 years, and of course again, Moses did not know the things before him. He did not know what the Lord had intended for him. But as we have it concerning the feeding of 5,000, concerning the Lord, he himself knew what he would do. The burning bush, and the Lord speaking unto Moses. And now the Lord would have Moses return to Egypt. That was one thing. And then bring forth the whole of the children of Israel out of Egypt. That was another thing. Through the wilderness, that was another thing. And into the promised land which the Lord had promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the children of Israel, that was another thing. What did Moses say? "I cannot do. I cannot do." Or like Peter replying to the Lord at Joppa upon the housetop, "Not so, Lord. I cannot do that. Not so, Lord." And Moses came forth with all of those excuses and reasons why he could not do. He felt so inadequate, he felt so insufficient, he felt to be so poor, he felt to be as nothing. Oh, how he so feared having to be that one to return to Egypt. "Lord, I cannot do." Moses would have to prove. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." I am not eloquent, neither now nor heretofore. Who hath made man's mouth? Who hath made the seeing, the blind, so on? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. Moses had to go. But go in the strength of the Lord God. He had his commission. Now he has his command. He must go. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And Moses did go. He also would prove that word. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." Willing. So we see another thing which I can do through Christ which strengtheneth me. Submission. Do we need tonight submission? Submission to the will of God. Not my will, but thine be done. Resignation to the will of God. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And how often it has been said, the hardest prayer to pray at times, "Thy will be done. Thy will be done." In The Acts of the Apostles read of the Apostle Paul, who felt so led of the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. But there were those, I forget just where and how, they nigh on prevented him. They feared what would happen to him there. His life would be in grave danger. But the apostle felt it to be of the Lord. And those other believers then said, "The will of the Lord be done." They bowed to the will of God. Oh, at times, what grace we need to bow to the will of God. Thy will be done. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And returning to Moses, he obeyed, he went. He went unto Pharaoh. That was no light matter. And Pharaoh completely rejected him and God. "Who is the Lord that I should obey him? I know not the Lord, neither will I let the children of Israel go." And he took away the straw from the children of Israel and demanded the same tailor bricks. He made their life utterly impossible. And now the officers of the children of Israel turn against Moses. Where there seemed to be hope, now their hope was dashed. All because Moses returned to say the Lord would appear and bring them forth out of that land. But everything seemed to go horribly wrong. And what did Moses do? I feel I need to turn to those words to quote them correctly. Oh, at times we take a step, we venture, and it just seems that things go horribly wrong, and oh, we wish we'd never taken that step. And we question everything. Oh, was it really of God? Was it the Lord's leading? And we felt it was. And oh, now these problems, now these difficulties, now these matters. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Lord, it's all gone wrong. Then the Lord said unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do." What I will do. Moses would be instrumental. But what I will do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I would but cannot, Lord, relieve. My help, my strength must come from thee. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me to believe in the things I say that I believe, I profess to believe. To have trust in God. To have faith in God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, to trust in him at all times. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall direct thy steps. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Casting all your care upon him. Can we do that? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Casting all your care upon him, proving for he careth for you. I can do all things, for ye have need of patience. Is it so tonight? Patience, perhaps waiting for God? My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Is it waiting upon God? And you feel to be waiting long? And you feel so troubled, will the Lord yet appear? Will the Lord yet direct? Will the Lord yet send help? Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Then we go on a few verses. Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is a way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Perhaps as one here tonight. Oh, how ye long to know the will of God. We have that word in the epistle. And be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Teach me to do thy will. That will be the burden, continual exercise of every spiritual soul. The will of God, desiring to know and do the will of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But all things according to the will of God. Oh, when we do not feel clear what the will of the Lord is. May the Lord help us to look to him alone, not to lean upon our own understanding, but to trust in him, waiting for him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The servant of Abraham, sent to Mesopotamia to seek a wife for Isaac, had that great burden, that great exercise. And overruling it all, overshadowing it all, was to know the will of God. That was his burden. He just longed to see the Lord's hand, to know the Lord's will. And then seeing how Rebekah came forth and offered water for him and the camels and so on, and speaking of who she were, the family, all the man wondered to see whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He made it all a matter of prayer. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But I really want to come to those words he said unto Bethuel and Laban, who both profess that the matter proceeded from the Lord. But would they allow Rebekah to go? Tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the left hand or to the right hand. And you may be waiting upon God. Lord, tell me. Tell me thy way. Tell me what to do. Perhaps there is something before you. And you want to know if it proceeded from the Lord. And he looked to the Lord. Tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the left hand or to the right. Oh, you long to know it's either of the Lord or not of the Lord. And if it's of the Lord, then to venture. But if it's not of the Lord, whatever the temptation, whatever the enticement, the attraction, oh, may grace be given to bow to the will of God and not to take one step. Not to take one step without him. Or we take these steps without him and it all comes to confusion in time and we bitterly regret ever taking such a step. But then knowing that the matter proceeded from the Lord, or we take that step, we venture, and then to continue in the way in which the Lord has led us, and to continue through flood and through fire, or to continue through many a temptation, many a trouble, many a trial, but to press on toward a mark of a prize of a high calling of God. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. I can do all things to endure. Here the apostle speaks of suffering. Yes, he had learned in the school of Christ, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content with the will of God. Whether it's to be abased or to abound, whether it's to hunger or to be full, in all these things he had learned by blessed experience the Lord's teaching, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, there may be one here this evening with an exercise. There's a matter before you. And if you feel it is of the Lord, if you feel it is a right step, Though like Samuel, when the Lord instructed him to go to Jesse and anoint one of his sons, and Samuel said, how can I go? How can I go? Or Saul hear of it, he will kill me. How can I go? And you feel, how can I take this step? You perhaps feel your weakness, your insufficiency. Oh, you greatly fear. I can do all things. I can take this step. I can go this way. I can venture. Leaning, trusting, looking, waiting. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Or to take that step, the Lord to strengthen, and or to give that strength sufficient for each day. Or to prove these things. Well, may the Lord be pleased to go before. May the Lord be pleased to undertake. May the Lord be pleased also to go before you in this way. And grant you to prove, even the mountains flowing down at his presence, the impossibility is becoming possible, proving that the hearts of all men are in the Lord's hand, proving that my God shall supply all your need. So I can do all things, but only through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
God willing, Mr. Pickett will come again tomorrow evening to address the prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. And Mr. Timothy Pocock will preach to us, God willing, on Tuesday evening, also at 7 o'clock. And Mr. Bernard Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day at 10:30 and 2:30. And he will administer the Lord's Supper after the morning service. And there will be no Sunday school on that day, all according to the will of God. Let us close with hymn 383. Wherewith shall we approach the Lord and bow before his throne? By trusting in his faithful word and pleading Christ alone. Hymn 383.
And now, may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.